Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. No positive Chuck today. He's feeling under the weather, but we have a very special co-host, show regular, former doctor, former nurse, aviation enthusiast. You know him. You love him. It's Carl Tart, ladies and gentlemen.
Five-time Tart filling in for the third day of the week? Fourth day of the week.
You're getting dangerously close to five-time.
Yeah. Listen, I'm happy to be here. Everybody, send positive vibes to positive Chuck Mockler. Send your well wishes. He's under the weather, but hey, look at me. I'm moving up in the world. This is how you take somebody's job.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Locked On might call and say, Charles, turn in your badge.
Turn in your badge. You're out. You know, we heard this podcast and we think we got it figured out. But we're going to be talking today about the Clippers and Lakers game. It'll be today by the time you're listening to this. Talk about what we got to do in that one to win, how we're feeling overall. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the press conference today. There's no like earth-shattering news on that front, but Kawhi had some good things to say about what he thought of this roster and what we need to do to make a deep playoff run. And then in shavings, there's some news that makes the Rome pick look better. So if you've been fretting about that, don't worry. And then also in unrelated news, Joe Kelly holding it down for LA. So all that and more coming up right about now. All right. So I guess the biggest news is the NBA is finally restarting. Clippers, not quite at full strength.
Yeah. We got Lou, Trez and Pat out, who are arguably the glue of the team. You know, they're the ones, I said this recently, they're the ones that we fell in love with on that playoff run last year, that spectacular playoff run. Even though we went out in the first round, pulling off that W against who should have been champions, who would have been champions if it wasn't for injuries, probably.
Yeah.
Like, that was an amazing game. I was standing in a bar with a bunch of Warriors fans and probably all bandwagon fans, all new. And to win that game, they had the nerve to look at me and go, oh, so everybody's a Clipper fan now. I was like, shut your dumb ass up. You telling me that I'm bandwagoning it? Like, this whack-ass team? Like, no, I love this. I love these guys. So
yeah, that doesn't count as bandwagoning, I don't think.
Not at all. And so it's going to be tough, you know, not having them there, especially because the first game is – against the Lakers, but also we weren't planning on winning all these games anyway. I think I predicted that we may fall to the Lakers this game anyway, like just because we got bigger goals. We got bigger fish to fry, and baby, the oil is getting hot.
So you think it's definitely possible that we take the L on this one?
Yeah, because I think the defensive intensity that Pat Beverly brings is really important. And Kawhi, of course, can guard anybody. He's the best defender in the league, but he'll get tired, you know. He can't 100%. Do now what's looking good for us is that AD may potentially be out.
So I think that it looks like he's probably going to play, and Bev was upgraded to questionable, so he was listed on the roster as questionable, so there's still a slight chance we could see him. We've gotten no definite answers from Doc for sure, but it would be it's two completely different games to me if we have Pat Bev or don't.
Yeah. It's two different games. Just an intensity that they bring. I cannot wait to see Pat Bev and Joe Kim on the same floor.
Oh, it's gonna be insane. Those guys seem like such a great match for teammates. So, are you gonna put any stock into this game, like win or loss or?
I don't think I'm putting any stock into any of the seeding games unless we go 0-8.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And if we go 0-8, there's a lot of things like that probably will only drop us down to what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
If at all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, I'm not putting no huge stock into these seeding games. Like I said, we got bigger goals. This is like, even as I watch the team play these scrimmages and the deep bench guys play these scrimmages and still like do really well against teams that are, you know, fully together in their normal form. Like it's good to see Amir Coffey doing his thing. It's good to see Terrence Mann kind of coming out of his shell finally. like Pat, you know, all these guys. Like, so I'm not super worried about these seeding games. If anything, I would be down for these seeding games to have those deep rotations until we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I definitely agree. My the only thing would be you do at some point have to ramp up the regular guys. Like, they have to get into the habit of playing together and just having good habits, which we'll talk more about in the second segment. But I see it almost as like that thing in the NFL where you get the bye week, and then when you're in the playoffs, I feel like if you're the team that ends up getting that week off, sometimes you're not as crisp.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that happened to the Ravens this year. They didn't look quite as solid. So this is technically a Lakers home game.
Your favorite team?
Yeah, my favorite football team, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
So this is technically a Lakers home game. Our only loss, interestingly enough, was a Clippers home game against the Lakers.
Wow. That's good looking.
What do you think of the fan experience thing?
I don't love it. I did not RSVP for it. Did you RSVP for it?
I did not, man. I don't know about that.
I don't want them seeing in my house. I don't want them I know I'm not gonna be sitting there the whole time. I know I'm gonna want to turn to, you know, I like to go YouTube deep dive when I'm at home on the couch. I don't want to just I'll sit and check in with the games. I'm not watching every possession. I may be watching the second half fully, but first couple quarters, unless it's real good, I'm still like flipping to, I'm watching some deep sea fishing. I'm watching some bass fishing. I'm watching mukbangs. You know, I'm not doing the fan experience because I feel like I got to sit there the whole time in front of my computer like this.
Yeah, I don't even know how much you can move your head realistically. Cause like they put each fan like into kind of like a digital seat. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of it either. Would you have preferred the cardboard cutouts like MLB's doing?
You know what? Now, this is interesting. So when I first saw the cardboard cutouts, they were during the Korean Baseball League, which when everybody was sports starved and everybody picked their Korean baseball team. That season's damn near over, and I haven't looked back since like game four. But they had the cardboard cutouts. I was like, that looks crazy. And then I got the email from the Dodgers, and they were like, do your cardboard cutout. And I'm like, I'm not spending no money to not come to the game. Like, that's crazy. And then I started seeing people's cardboard cutouts. I saw E40's cardboard cutouts with the, you know, that team up north. And yeah. I was like, that looks tight. Like, he got a drink in his hand. He's in between Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle. And he's just, like, chilling at the game. And then I saw Brody Stevens cut out at the Dodger games. And I thought that was super dope. And I was like, I kind of want a cutout now. So I'm kind of on board with the cutouts at this point.
I like it. I'd love to see a Carl Tart cutout on the broadcast. A couple last things with this Lakers matchup. So I think a huge thing that we have to do to win this one is like keep the ball moving. In that loss, we had only 12 assists, which seems so low. I had to like double check it. But the team shot horribly, obviously, in that last one from three. I think we shot like 22% from three. So I hope that Kawhi can come out of this slump early. Paul George already looks really good. But I think a lot of this playmaking, at least a portion of it, is going to come down to Reggie. What have you thought of him so far through the scrimmages?
Love Reggie in the scrimmages. Love Reggie on the court. Think it was a solid pickup that we made. I thought that was a solid pickup from the beginning. I definitely – who else was on the table? So we got Markieff Morris. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that we could get both of them.
Yeah.
Do we have Marcus or Markieff?
We got Marcus.
Okay, Mook. So I was hoping that we could get both of them. But that didn't work out. And then JR was still on the table and, like, Deion Waiters. Like, but a lot of people weren't sold on those guys. Ooh. I think JR is really good. But I was happy with the Reggie Jackson pickup. People were like, Reggie Jackson? Like, because he didn't have the best time in Detroit.
Yeah. But
I was like, I like this guy. And I know he's good. Like, he's always been good. He's a strong, like, bigger version of Pat Beverly almost. Maybe not as – of course, not as good of a defender, but a better scorer.
Yeah.
And without Lou and Pat, I think he's going to step up and fill that role in. Really.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, we're just going to need him. Somebody like we do use Kawhi and Paul George as kind of points at times, but they still can't do that. They can't do that on every possession, especially without Pat, if we're asking them to do more defensively.
Yeah.
For sure. So I guess if there's anything that I'm worried about in this game, I'm a little bit worried at like the rotations at the five. How much time or run do you think we could see Joakim in this one?
I think he's coming straight off the bench for Zoo.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. Really the only options are him and JaMychal, maybe Patterson. But he's kind of had some up and down play through these scrimmages.
Pat Patterson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's had some up and down play all season, honestly. Because you remember in the beginning of the season, he was starting. And then all of a sudden he went from starting to not getting any minutes.
Yeah, he would go a couple games DNP, and then he'd come in and like he'd still shoot the lights out though from three, which I appreciated. The biggest thing was I just thought in the scrimmages he didn't look so great defensively.
Yeah, I wonder what's his problem. You think he's old? You think he don't have that gas no more?
I don't know. I still gotta think that part of it is rhythm, man. If you're not getting those reps in, like you don't know. You don't know how to communicate with your teammates. And when you play with the same team all the time, like, you know where people are kind of going to be on defense. You know how to read them on offense.
Exactly.
So it's just one of those things, I think. So what do you think we can get from Shamet in his first game back?
You know what? He's been gone for a while. I'm hoping that he can at least get into a rhythm, because I noticed that when Shamet starts missing, he keeps missing.
Yes. And I think he gets rattled.
Yeah, he gets rattled, it feels like. And so I'm hoping that he can start off early, coming off that, you know, off that pick and roll, like just hitting that corner and knocking a couple down at the curve. And that'll like get his confidence back up. That'll let him know he's ready to play. And I hope he can get into his role. The fact that we are missing so many of our players, especially one of our top scorers, like, I hope that he can, you know, try to fulfill that role that Lou, you know, has set, and he gets some buckets in. He drive to the basket a little bit more, be a little bit stronger. Sometimes I get upset with Shamet because I feel like he don't go that tough, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think part of that is just, I mean, he's had like such a strange like role change from last year to this year. Yeah. When he went from starting and being such a heavy part of the offense to in the offseason, it seemed like they were pushing him to play make more. And then his role was so much smaller, especially once Reggie came, saw a lot less Shamet.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully he can knock down a couple early ones, like get in the rhythm, maybe hit two or three in the first quarter, first half, and then that'll carry us on. And he realized how important he is. Shamet, you are important. You are important. I know you listen to this. I know you're huge on this pod, and I wanted to let you know, we love you here at Locked On Clippers.
Hey. All right. So you said that you're predicting an L. You got a score prediction?
I think it'll be close.
Yeah.
I think it'll be, judging that they're going to be missing AD perhaps, and like they're still kind of shaky at point guard, I think it's going to fall on LeBron a lot. I think LeBron's going to be going super hard.
You think so?
And, yeah. And because he's got everything to prove at this point. He's got so much to prove. So I think that's going to happen. And I also think I'm predicting an L, but, you know, I can't count our guys out. Like, because we, like I said, we do have a strong, strong rotation right now, like of just like people kind of stepping up. And this is a new environment. When you're watching those scrimmages, they're scrimmages, but the games look different.
Definitely.
Like, and so we might, there was like Terrence Mann's reverse dunk was on such a open defensive play. Like, it was just like, where is the other team?
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like a lot of people are just trying to get used to and acclimated to that stuff. So maybe I'll give the Lakers the dub, but I'll give it to them by 3 points. So that's I'm going 106-109.
106-109. I think that makes sense with the bubble. I don't know, just missing some scores. I think that I'm gonna flip sides and say that I'm gonna take a Clippers dub, which I'm still hoping that Pat Bev is gonna be there. But I think that we take it, let's say like 109-103. Yeah. I think we locked this one up. I don't know how hard the Lakers are going to go. I mean, obviously they'll go hard against this matchup, but like they have the one seed locked up, man. Like, yeah. To me, it's kind of like, why even try?
Yeah. They're too far ahead at this point.
Yeah. So. But they got to show up against the Clippers.
Yeah. And I'm hoping, usually my predictions are wrong. When I gamble in Vegas, I lose a lot of money. So right now I'm betting against my guys because I want them to get the motivation from this. I know you guys listen.
I love the negging approach. Yeah, it always works.
First of all, everybody out there looks like y'all not as buff as you used to be. Like, that's one thing. Maybe you're not as strong as you used to be. I'm just negging, you know? Everybody's haircuts are weird. Like, I'm negging, all right? You don't make enough money.
Super crucial. All right, so that about does it for the Clippers-Lakers preview. If you guys have any thoughts, let us know what you think at Locked On Clips. Coming up next, we're going to have a little bit of info on today's presser, as well as just talking about some general season stuff. So stay tuned for that. All right, we're back with some presser info. Nothing like really ground shaking today from the camp. Doc Rivers has been disappointed that we've only had 10 dudes in training camp as opposed to 15. Is this just going to be the normal for the Clippers? Are we ever going to have when is everybody going to be there?
In the NBA Finals, everybody's going to be there, and everybody's going to be square, and everybody's going to be ready to get it in. I think that's when it's coming out. Doc is going to have everything that he ever wanted. He's going to have so much talent that he won't even know what to do with them. He won't even know what plays to draw up. He's going to be like, I've never experienced this much talent on one team. Let me do it in Doc's voice. I've never experienced this much talent on one team.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I think we're definitely like we're peaking at the right time, I think. Yeah. he described the NBA bubble as like a village. He thinks that it's definitely been good for chemistry. Do you think that there's one Clipper, or could you point out one Clipper who's probably the most difficult to get along with?
Oh man, it's hard for me to say, and because I love this guy, but I think we speculated on this before. I think it's Trez, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I just think it's him because I feel like he would be the type of person. His attitude to me, okay, so when I saw that post on Instagram of him teaching the kids, and he was like, teaching these kids, even if they don't listen to me. And it's like, that sounds like a person who's very insecure about things. And yeah. We've seen how emo he is. I understand Trez is young. Y'all gotta realize that Trez is young. Trez is of this new generation. Trez is Lil Peep, Lil Pump. Like, Trez is of these, you know, what era we in, XXX Tentacion type stuff. So he's emo, you know what I'm saying? But I think sometimes he can get a little bit, he probably gets mad in practice. He probably gets upset with people, like if they bump him too hard, you know, if practice gets too tough, he probably is one of those guys.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, he definitely flips kind of up and down. It seems like if he's in a bad mood, like he's that guy that flips the entire room. Like, yeah. Everybody's now in a bad mood because he is. I think another one, I hate to say it because he's looking so much better through these scrimmages chemistry wise, but Marcus Morris, man.
I will agree with you. I think he may be tough, but hopefully he can understand his role. I feel like Marcus Morris wants to be LeBron so bad. Like, yeah. He wants to be the top player in the league.
Definitely.
Just not talent-wise, but he's very good. He's very important. So I can see why you would say that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And he just has – he just seems like a guy who is super competitive with his brother. Like, he's got that kind of alpha beta kind of situation, yeah, going on.
Yes.
So Kawhi also said that these 8 games are about building good habits and chemistry, which we talked about a little bit in the last segment. But how much do you think the Clippers can coast in these 8 games?
Well, I thought they could coast a lot more until you said what you said about they need to stop coasting and figure out what they want to do. I don't want us to go 0-8. So no. let's say if we all predicted like 5-3. Let's say we take L's these first 3. Then they need to turn it on. We can't lose more than 3. I think that's our cap. We can't go 4-4. I think coming out of this 8 is we need to have a winning record. So whether that be 5-3, 6-2, 7-1, 8-0. I just think it needs to be on the on that side of it and not the other side, because that doesn't bode well for me with the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, they can coast to a certain extent, but not more than three games, man. I guess I would be ultimately fine if we ended up going 500, but only if we're looking good. You know what I mean? Like, if we're looking good those last four games, I'm not really that worried. But, yeah, anything more, like, if we have a losing record, that doesn't bode well. If we drop to three, I mean, there's a possibility we could see Houston in that first round, which is, you know, I mean, I still think ultimately we're better than them and we beat them, but that's not the matchup I want in the first round.
Not at all. That's not the matchup I want at all. I want them playing somebody else. I don't want a match. I want somebody weaker in the first round.
I want the Mavs.
I'm fine with Denver. I want Mavs. I want somebody. I don't want to play against arguably the most athletic person in the league and arguably the best scorer in the league.
Yeah.
Like in the first round. Like,
no.
I don't want that.
Just sounds like more effort than it needs to it's be going, in the
like,
first round.
Like, while we got guys like Kawhi, and, like, but we also, I will say this, as a Clipper fan, man, I think a lot of us may have this feeling in our bones. It's like, we got to release these guys. Like, I feel like I've been coddling them all season. Like, PG and Kawhi, I feel like I've been like, take him out. Don't play him. Nah,
you don't want to let him leave the nest.
Exactly. I'm going to need them to leave the nest now. Like, it's time. It's time to go.
It would be great to see those guys stepping out in game one. Just from like a turning it on perspective, or even if it's, they're only turning it on to like level six.
Yeah.
It would definitely be great to see. The only time I've really been harsh on them was like leading up into the All-Star break, when we were like just losing. We were just sloppily losing games, man.
Yeah. That the Memphis game that I think we were all at in attendance.
Yes.
That was rough. I did not like that at all. It gets tough. It definitely gets tough. But I think it's time to like these guys are tight and they're ready. And I just feel I got a good feeling, man, when I listen to like PG on the pod and he talks about how bad he wants to win and I know he wants to win because he's been so close so many times in his career.
So close.
So, and Kawhi, he got that winning mentality. He got two rings. So it's like, why not win one more? You know?
Yeah, I agree. And Kawhi said that he thinks the roster is there. It's just about execution.
I agree with him. It took me watching these scrimmages to fully agree with that statement. It took me being like, oh, wait a minute. These guys are actually really good.
Kind of everybody can contribute.
Yeah. When we didn't have Shamit, when we didn't have Zoo, and we didn't have the three glue guys, I was like, oh, damn. But, like, watching the other guys play, it's like, oh, no, this is okay. Like, I'm cool with this. And the fact that we're going to have – that we could potentially have Pat back tomorrow – and the fact that all of those guys are going to be back by come playoff time, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for it.
Agreed.
I think they got the chemistry right. I think everything, like, I like it.
It's a good mix. Like, it just feels right. I don't know. It feels different to me than the Lob City era or, like, any other time being a Clippers fan. It just feels different.
Feels different, for sure.
Do you think – this is just a weird side note. Do you think that Kawhi ends up with more rings than Bron?
If we win this year, he's tied with him. I think we'll get one more out of him before he leaves. Yeah. Yeah. Here's my thing. I don't think LeBron wins another.
I don't know. I maybe it's just like Clippers pride, but I got to agree with you, man. I'm not seeing it.
I'm not seeing it. I don't think he wins another one, even if we aren't the ones to stop him. I think because I think let's say worst case scenario, knock on wood, that it doesn't happen. But let's say we got Lakers Bucks this season. Mm-hmm. I'm going Bucks. I'm going Bucks in six or seven.
I think I have to too. The roster, the roster's just, I have less questions about it. It's just better.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he wins another one. And that sucks, man, because like I can admit I'm a Clipper fan. I'm upset that LeBron went to the Lakers, mostly because I'm a Bron guy. That's my GOAT. That's my GOAT. That's my greatest of all time. Him and Shaq, both happened to play for the Lakers. But like, I don't think he gets another. And that sucks. Because he should have just came across the hall. But no, I got to follow the legacy.
Yeah, it does suck. But anyways, that about does it for the presser info. Coming up, we're going to have a couple of things rattling around on the shavings drawer, so stay tuned for that. All right, so not a huge news day NBA-wise, but I'm curious on your thoughts about this Michael Porter Jr. controversy. He recently said that he thinks that the coronavirus is to control population, and there's obviously like a lot of other factors at hand. Does this make the Jerome Robinson pick look that much better?
Yeah, basically. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. is going to be pretty good in this league, but he's going to be a pariah. He's out there talking that bullshit. He's too young. Like, he's just young and dumb. I wonder what it is. Like, I think he's super religious, because remember when he was like, pray for the cops that killed George Floyd and stuff like that. And
I get
what he's doing. He's doing a turning of the cheek and like, love your brother. And I'm like, nah, man, miss me with that shit right now. Like, now is
not the
now
time.
Is not the time, dog. Now is not the time. Like, I'm like, he's just got to shut up. I saw a tweet that said, Michael Porter Jr. is what y'all think Kyrie is. And I'm like, that's true. Because people be shitting on Kyrie for when he expresses his opinions. But he's helping so much. Did you see all that money that he donated?
Yeah, $1.5 million to a players fund for WNBA players. He's been all over the place donating different causes. And the other thing I will say about Kyrie, he never really started talking his bullshit until after he had a chip.
True. True.
Like, that was when we started getting, like, out there, Kyrie.
Yeah, I agree. So it ain't that out there, man. I mean, we think about it. We never seen the world. Nah, just playing. I was watching a video. This is stupid to talk about on this podcast, but I was watching a video of a person filming the sky in fast motion, like in a time lapse. That's what it's called. And the stars were going like this. And I'm like, see, how can you think that the world is...
They're rotating in a circle, not back and forth.
Yeah, not going back and forth. Yeah. But yeah,
Jerry knew best. He knew that MPJ was not the right fit for this team. Yeah. In other LA sports news, man, shout out Joe Kelly holding it down,
bro. Come on, man. LA bleeds blue. I love it, Joe Kelly. He took that 8-game suspension too. That's BS.
Yeah, the
league don't want to see the Dodgers do it, but we gonna do it though. Clippers and Dodgers champions 2020. 2020 ain't all that bad.
I mean, that would truly be a pretty redeeming end to the... Yeah.
For us, at least. For the people on this podcast, it would be great.
All right.
I'm going to a parade. I'm going. Maskless. Wow. No mask. Taking all coughs. Cough in my mouth, Dodger fans.
Yeah, you said if the Clippers won a chip, you would be out there getting spit in the mouth.
I'm in Miami getting my mouth spat in.
I mean, I just hope it comes true. I just hope it comes true, because I don't doubt that you'll do it.
At least one hot lady on the beach. Just go ahead. Just give me a good cough. Just a real good loogie in the mouth. That's disgusting.
I mean, great note to end the show on. That's going to do it for today. Make sure and check back tomorrow, where we'll have a recap of that Lakers game, as well as news on whatever else is going on. So thanks so much for tuning in. I have been William the Opinion Updike, and I've been joined by
Carl Tart. I forgot what name I say. Oh, Five Time Tart. I got to give a shout out to my boy. He's an avid listener of y'all. Beano Burhand. I know him as Ben Overhand. We went to high school together at, shout out, Alexander Hamilton High School here in Los Angeles. We played men's volleyball together. He's a listener to Locked On Clippers. He hit me up on Instagram. I haven't seen him since high school. It's good to hear from him. So shout out. And anybody else who went to high school with us, like, hit us up.
Hit us up. Yeah, this is what Clippers are all about, reuniting people, you know? So that's going to do it for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate you.